Good evening. I'm Paul Edwards from Miami, Florida, and I'd like to welcome everyone, if I could learn to speak, to Tuesday Topics. Tuesday Topics is made possible by ACB Radio and, of course, would not be possible without the immense assistance of George Bies and Talking Communities, who make the software that we use to record this program available to us. Second, I'd like to thank Chrissy and others from ACB Radio who are recording tonight's program. And finally, I'd like to thank Steve Bauer, who will probably end up having to edit this stuff. So, tonight, we have a topic that is, for me, one which is fascinating, in that it's a topic that over the last 5 to 10 years has been available as an idea for folks who are blind, and for the last 15 or 20 years for others, I think. And this idea is that of space camp. There are many blind people, and I'm not sure what the correlation is, and maybe Dan can help us, who are science fiction fans. I know I happen to be one of those people. I am probably a science fiction fanatic. I probably know as much about science fiction as I know about the job that I do. And many of us are also fascinated by the real-time space program. When we do hold conventions in Florida, one of the most popular tours we have are tours to the Space Center, where people who are blind actually get an opportunity to have some direct interaction with NASA. At the moment, ACB is going to be working directly with NASA to try to build some other cooperation, perhaps more of that later in the show. But one of the things that has been really exciting to those of us who are intrigued by outer space has been the emergence of space camp. And to tell us a little about that are a number of guests, but the person we're going to start with first, who will tell us also about some of our other guests, is Dan Oates, who I think is from West Virginia. And Dan has been one of the teachers at Space Camp for many years, and I think is now at a place where he is not only a teacher at Space Camp, but a teacher of the teachers at Space Camp. So let me begin by welcoming Dan to the program and by asking him to tell us a little bit about what he does at Space Camp and perhaps a little about the other folks who are with us. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate all that. It sounds like ACB's got a good handle on the whole NASA thing down in Florida. I'm a teacher at the West Virginia School for the Blind here. I've got my master's in education and visually impaired, and I'm a certified orientation and mobility instructor, low vision therapist. And my real job that I get paid for is I run the blind baby program here in West Virginia. But my full-time hobby is to coordinate a program called SciViz, which is Space Camp for Interested Visually Impaired Students. And that takes place in Huntsville, Alabama.
Tell us a little bit about perhaps how that program got started and how you got involved in it, and maybe how long it's been going on, how many blind folks have been there, whether it's just for kids or whether adults can come too, that kind of thing.
Okay, it goes back to about 1988 when a proactive blind adult called up to Space Camp and said, I want to come to Space Camp and I'm blind. And at that point in time, with things being the way they were, she was denied access, and that in turn prompted a letter to a representative, and the letter to the representative ended it up at Space Camp, which is a privately run program and not funded by the government or NASA at all. And that in turn required the director at Space Camp, who is from my little hometown here in West Virginia, to call back to the School for the Blind and ask for some assistance with that. At that point in time, our superintendent, who had gone to high school with the current director at Space Camp and founder, decided that it would be appropriate for our staff to come down and take a look at the camp to see if there was any way we could make the program more accessible to blind and visually impaired kids.
What about your involvement? When did you get involved, and who conned you into becoming a Space Camp person?
Well, much like yourself, I'd always been sort of, I still refer to myself as a space geek because I love and eat and breathe everything space. I wanted to go on the first time we went as students in 1990. I was a orientation and mobility instructor and wanted to go with the kids as a chaperone, and ended up eventually getting to go in 1990 for the first trip. And I begged my principal to please let me go, and I got to go. In the first two or three, 4 years, it was sort of a learning experience. And then as the program continued to grow and wanted to grow, I volunteered to sort of coordinate the other states that were interested. And as a result, it was a job that I think only I wanted. And I continue to do it today. This is the 17th year since then that we've had students coming. And we turned international, I believe, in 1997, I believe, was the first year we went international. And now we have students coming from all over the world.
That really is a very exciting program, and of course, it probably bears saying, so that people hear it, that all of this came from a single individual who is an adult wanting to go to space camp and being pushy enough not to be told no and simply sit back and take that kind of answer. Dan, I understand we have some folks with us who've had some experience with space camp and who are also involved to some degree in working in other aspects of space camp. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those folks and let us get to know them a little.
Well, also on the line here is Lynn Schwartz, and Lynn is the is a vision teacher and orientation and mobility instructor in Kelowna, British Columbia. And since, I guess, about 1999, I think, she'll get mad at me if I don't remember exactly, she has been the coordinator for the Canadian team that comes down this year, I think, bringing 31 or 32 kids. Also, we have Alicia Richards, who attended space camp as a blind student, I think 1997, 98, maybe somewhere in there, and is coming back this year with a friend of hers, Jim Denham, and they're coming to the adult program. So I've asked both of them to be with me, and I've also asked my friend Ben Clare, who is Australian blind adult, who came as student, but Ben is unable to attend today because of computer issues. I just got an email from him.
Let's take them in order then. Lynn from Kelowna in British Columbia. That's in the Okanagan Fruit Valley of British Columbia, where one of my aunts and uncles lived. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your involvement with Space Camp and also about the degree to which Canada has embraced Space Camp as well.
Hi, everybody. It's Lynn, and I'm going to correct Dan first because it was 1998. That was my first year. This is going to be my ninth CIVIS as a teacher bringing students down. And as a result of my first year coming to Alabama, I have, first of all, had no idea what I was getting myself into. I brought two students from Canada. Dan was thrilled because we were the first Canadians to come to the camp. And I spent my week with the one student that was on my caseload with me, had the time of my life with him. The two of us together just had an absolute blast, and didn't actually really get to truly meet Dan until the last night after graduation. And I just said to Dan, how am I going to go back to Canada and make my family and my friends and all of my coworkers and students understand what I've just experienced here, because the changes and growth in my student and also in myself were huge, and I had no idea that that was going to be the end result for me. So Dan said to me, all you can do is go back and share this with your coworkers and your students and do the best that you can to bring as many kids back as you possibly can. So over the past 9 years, it's evolved. I now help Dan coordinate Canada because it's become such a big country of bringing students down. And this year's our biggest year. We're bringing 31 students from across the country and 13 teachers. So it's literally changed lives of my students from their experiences, and it's changed my life professionally and personally because of all of the people and experiences I've got to share down there each year.
Thank you. Alicia, you first attended Space Camp as a student and now are looking forward to going back to the adult camp. Could you reflect for a minute for us on what it was like for you to attend Space Camp as a student, what your expectations were, and maybe tell us a little bit about what actually happened when you got there and what your thoughts were? Obviously, you didn't hate it or you wouldn't be going back. So tell us a little bit, if you would, and welcome.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. I'm going to go with Lynn here and be the second to correct Dan, because I attended as a student Regular Space Academy in 1996 and Advanced Academy in 1997. I was the first student from Iowa to attend, which is where I was raised and where I live now, actually. I learned the program. A teacher from the Cedar Rapids School District went down to a teacher's week in 1996, met Dan, learned about it, and said, why aren't students from Iowa participating in this? She came back and put the word out to the public schools in the Cedar Rapids District that said, if you have any blind students who would be interested in this, it exists. And my high school principal called me down to the office at the very beginning of the school year, the very beginning of September, and my first thought was, what did I do to get in trouble? And as it turned out, he wanted to inform me of this program. I learned about it approximately 2 weeks before it was supposed to happen, did some very quick financial figuring, and also because there was a cancellation on the Nebraska team, Nebraska was taking a group of students down, and I was solo from Iowa. I was placed with the Nebraska team. And didn't really know what to expect. I'd been fascinated with space, with NASA, for as long as I can remember. And was a little nervous going down because I didn't know anyone at all. It was also my first experience with a lot of other blind people at one time. I was mainstreamed into public school all my life and really hadn't been around that many other blind students. So this was, that in itself was a whole new experience, let alone Space Camp, which I absolutely loved. It was, I learned so much about NASA, about the space program. I learned a lot about myself and independence, being away for a week, being around other blind people. I learned about the fire that others have for the space program, that I was not alone in that, and I met Dan and just loved him to death, even as a teenager. And so went back in 1997 to Advanced Academy and got to do things like the scuba experience in the underwater training tank, which simulates weightlessness. So both of those years were just phenomenal. And I've wanted to go back ever since, tried to go back in various capacities, started dating Jim, actually last November, learned that he had the same fire for the space program and had never had the chance to attend, so the two of us decided we wanted to go so I could come back as an adult, which is what I've wanted to do ever since 97, and he could experience it for himself.
Jim Denham, who used to work for the American Foundation for the Blind, and I guess now is in the private sector, why don't you tell us what's impelling you to attend Space Camp for the first time, Jim, as an adult? What is it that fascinates you about Space Camp and what you've heard about it?
Well, I've been a fan of science fiction and space growing up. I've always, you know, followed the NASA launches and always followed what's happening with NASA. And I'd heard about this thing called Space Camp and thought it'd be really cool, but really didn't know. I had met Dan a couple years ago, actually, when I was living in West Virginia, and had heard some things about it then and thought, you know, that'd be really kind of cool. And that was the first time I'd heard of blind and visually impaired people actually attending Space Camp. But as Alicia said, I started dating her back in November, and she told me about her experiences, and I just thought that'd be really, that's awesome, you know, somebody I know who has actually gone through this program and experienced it. So we decided to go this year, and we're going to be going in a couple weeks. And, I mean, I really don't know what to expect. I mean, I've seen the movie Space Camp, but I'm told that's nothing like what the real experience is. But, I mean, I'm a huge fan of space. I'm a real huge fan of science fiction. I'm a real big follower of what happens in you know, current science and current space technology. And just looking forward to learning all I can about the space program in those 3 days that I'm going to be there. So, I guess that's what's compelling me, is just the desire to learn more and the desire to experience some of what life as an astronaut would be like.
One of the things that some people have said about Space Camp, and I guess this question is developed to Lynn and Dan, and then maybe to Alicia as well, is that Space Camp has had an effect on the degree to which blind people perceive themselves as capable of doing science. I think one of the truths that may be out there, and you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong, is that blind kids tend to perceive themselves as not very capable of doing mathematics, not very capable of doing science, not very capable, therefore, of going into the kind of careers that many of them might have actually looked toward had they not been blind. And there are some who say that Space Camp had an impact on that. Let me open it up to any of the three of you to jump in and comment, and others can afterwards as well, on whether you think Space Camp has in fact improved the self-concept of blind kids and the degree to which they perceive themselves as capable in math and science.
Well, that's interesting, Paul, that you should bring that up. The whole math and science thing is what got me interested in this originally. That I felt, just like you said, that the kids were not getting the opportunities to do that. And we do have a scientist by the name of Dr. Craig Moore, who's a stellar chemist, who works at the Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, who comes and talks to the student. He is blind and has been blind his whole life. And he comes in and tells them about the tricks of the trade and so forth and so on, and how he got to NASA. But every year, and I guess this sort of makes my point, that it's not so much the math and the science that makes Space Camp what it is today, or SciViz, which is our program. Every year, the conversation turns not to math and science. It starts off as college and high school and his interest in that. But it always goes to the personal level of kids asking him questions of, what's it like to be a blind adult? Were your parents mad at you when they found out you were blind? Do you have friends? Do you have a social life? Are you married? And I think while the math and science things attract kids, and it goes back to what Alicia said earlier, is that, you know, she came down there because she was interested in space, but she learned lots about herself because she was on her own for a week. And all of those skills that all of us crazy teachers always talk about, daily living skills and your cane technique and all of that, comes into play in a situation like that. And it lets kids know that they can survive in an environment like that. And it's really good for blind kids to be around other blind kids. I don't care what they say about mainstreaming or whatever. That's academic. But and blind kids don't get to be around blind kids a lot. And if they do it for 1 week a year or 2 weeks a year at another camp, I think that's so, so important. And I'm just glad that we can provide a week. And if a kid can't come to Space Camp, he can certainly find another camp to go to get it.
This is Alicia. I hope you don't mind if I jump in here. Paul, to address your question, I'll guarantee you that it makes a difference in blind kids' perceptions on the math and science front. And on the, like Dan said, the personal independence front, I was raised to be independent, and the same expectations were on me that were on my sighted older sisters. But I watched kind of a transformation take place in another student camper who was there, who is now one of my absolutely best friends. Her name is Amy. And at the beginning of the week, she was very, oh, I'm not sure about this, and I'm not sure I'm smart enough for this math and science thing and whatever. And at the end of the week, she overheard, we were eating lunch in the cafeteria, and she overheard another tourist who wasn't part of the SciViz program, but who was just there to look at the Space and Rocket Center, say something to the degree of, oh, it's so good they allow those poor blind kids down here to experience this, since there's no chance they could ever work for NASA or especially go up in space and be an astronaut. And we were all mad about it, but Amy just went off, that's so false, and this week has shown me that we can work for NASA and we can, you know, we could be astronauts someday. And she just went off, and so I watched it totally change her concept, and that in turn helped change mine, really.
My turn. It's Lynn again. This is all so true, everything that everyone, Dan and Alicia, have said. The only thing I have to add to that is the fact that it's not just the actual being at the camp. For us as international students that go, it involves letter writing to fundraise the money, to get the money to come to Space Camp, because it costs a lot of money for those plane tickets. It involves applying for a passport. many of the students I've taken have never left home before. They've never been on an escalator. They've never been on an elevator. They've never been on a plane. And so, you know, the whole experience from a year before they get to go while they're fundraising to the camp to coming back and doing speeches for their classrooms, writing projects, saying thank yous to service clubs that have given them money is all part of the entire experience. And I also think the one thing that Space Camp offers that is different is the international component. You've got kids, blind children and visually impaired kids from all different walks of life in the world who are able to meet up with one another and talk about their cultures and what Braille code or Nemeth code is different in this country and that. The whole package is just filled with positives for our kids.
And I guess that brings us to one other question, and that is, how does Space Camp get funded? Do schools for the blind fund, do service clubs fund? And maybe we could ask all three of you to comment on that. How do kids manage to get the money to come to Space Camp, and how much involvement do the actual kids have, or is it just something that's done for them? And then after that, we're getting pretty close to the point where we're going to open it up so that other people can ask some questions and raise some issues.
Well, Paul, I always say I just nickel and dime this. It comes from a variety of sources. The Delta Gamma International Sorority gives me somewhere between $7,500 and $10,000 a year, which I divvy out into scholarships. I think this year I've got 33 kids coming on partial scholarships with that. Schools for the Blind, who send teams, which is usually about anywhere from 45% to 50% of the kids who come. This year we have 187 kids attending worldwide. They send through their student fund, foundation, whatever. I write a grant through the Tubert Foundation in West Virginia to send 20 kids. Lynn's funding comes from the Canadian Military Police Blind Fund, which is the charitable arm of the Canadian Military Police. Other kids' parents just write the check. Other schools' students are writing grants to charitable foundations. The Australian kids work fundraising programs all year long to get here. So it's just coming from a variety of sources. The Space Camp employees, which I can't say enough about, the people who work at Space Camp, each employee gets a 50% deduction in tuition as part of their employee package. And each year, it's sort of like the fundraiser that doesn't cost anybody anything. But about 50 to 75 of the employees at Space Camp will donate their 50% scholarship to my program, and I divvy those out to the kids who need them as well. So it comes from all over the place to get this. And this is Space Camp's favorite week of the year when SciViz comes to town.
This is Alicia. I remember when in 96 I was a junior in high school, and as I said earlier, we only had about 2 weeks to put this thing together by the time I heard about SciViz. In 96, my funds came primarily from a organization, a business in Cedar Rapids, Iowa called Rockwell Collins, which is involved in aviation industry and a lot of technology in aviation, etc. And I got a scholarship from Rockwell, and I was involved in that because I had to write the letter to get it, then write the letter of thanks for it. In 97, my funding came from actually the ACB affiliate here in Iowa helping with that. That's ICUB, the Iowa Council of United Blind, helping with that. And I went to talk to them about why they should help me with it, and then went to talk to them after the program about what it had done for me. It also came from a friend of the family who owned their own business and wanted to assist me. Here again, I was involved in speaking to him and his business. So I think, like Lynn said, that it's important that the students be involved in helping raise the money or however they're financially going to do it, so that it doesn't just completely come free. I know it made me appreciate it a lot more to have been involved in how I was going to get there and how we were going to make it work.
Jim Dunham, tell me a little bit about funding for the adult program, whether you know about scholarships for that, and if you don't object, at least some kind of ballpark figure in terms of how much the adult program is going to run you and Alicia.
I don't know of any programs for adults. Dan might be able to speak to that. For me, it was just a matter of saving up and putting some money away from each paycheck. I am employed in the private sector. Actually, I work in the access technology business, and so it's a matter of just saving up a little bit from each paycheck and putting it aside for the trip. And I think it was around $400 a person for the adult program, if memory recalls. That was back in February and March when we decided to go, so it was a while back, but I believe that was what the cost was.
Excellent, and presumably that doesn't include airfare. Does that include the cost of lodging, or is lodging separate as well, Jim?
That does include the cost of lodging. From what I understand, that each member of the team is put up in the, I'm blanking on the word of it right now, but there is there is lodging, yes.
Jim, just so you know, this is Alicia. The word you're looking for there is habitat. Nothing is called by a simple name around there. The dorm is the habitat. A drinking fountain is an H2O dispenser. The bathroom is waste management. They come up with all kinds of creative terms, so you're looking for habitat there.
Anybody have any final thing that they'd like to add before we open it to questions?
I would just like to add one thing. I think it's important for those of you who are listening to know that first of all, Dan is your front line for this. If you know of any kids or teachers who might be able to bring students, that they really shouldn't look at it like immediately and go, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. They should call Dan and have a chance to talk with him, and he can speak more to this. But the point I'd like to make is that it's with Dan, it's how can we get this kid there? It's not, you've got to do all of this. So he's very willing to help. He did the same for me over, you know, in the very first year. He helped get me down there with my students. And so having that level of support behind a teacher to bring kids down is huge, because it is overwhelming to think about the process of getting a kid down there. So I would just encourage anybody who's listening to contact Dan or have teachers and kids contact him for the future camps.
This is Alicia. I absolutely agree. I mean, if Dan could get me down there within 2 weeks of hearing about it, and without chaperone, without a teacher from my state, that was pretty impressive, and we had to work fast, but he definitely made it easy for me and my family. As students there that week, we named him Dan the Man Oates, which is pretty apt.
Dan, are you minded to give at least an email address where people can get hold of you in the event that they are interested in trying to set up to come to Space Camp next year or to arrange for kids from a given state to come?
Sure. My email address is SciViz, which is the first three letters of science, which is SCI, and the first three letters of vision, which is VIS. So it's SciViz, which also stands for Space Camp for Interested Visually Impaired Students. SciViz at AtlanticBB, which is boy, AtlanticBB.net. So SciViz at AtlanticBB.net. Our website is hosted by the ever famous and wonderful guy, Jim Allen, at the Texas School for the Blind. And if you go to the Texas School for the Blind and tab through the links there, you'll finally find one called Space Camp. And that is the SciViz website. And Jim graciously hosts that, puts all of our forms on there and everything. Now, I do not, Jim was talking earlier about funding. I do not have any funding sources for adults. I don't spend, and I don't mean this as an insult, but all my work goes for kids. I just don't spend time fundraising for adults. And if you want to register for that camp, you need to call the 1-800-63 space number, which is Space Camp's reservation line, and they will in turn hook you up with your reservation. I don't do registration for adults. I just work for that kid program. We will provide support for the adult program.
Do the 800 number once more, Dan. At least for me, it was a little unclear. Is that 1-800-63 space?
That is correct. It is 1-800-63-SPACE, which I think interprets to 77223, space does. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it is.
You can quote him. He's right on that.
Let me open it up for people who may have questions or comments for any of the group. And remember, tell us who you are and where you're from.
Hello, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I think this has been quite interesting tonight. I've heard of Space Camp, but I didn't really know what it was or what it did. But I'm glad that I was here to listen and find out some information about it.
This is Lisa Hall, Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to say there is a similar camp that we have run by the National Federation of the Blind, and it's in July. As part of what we're going to have in 2007, the Youth Slam, which they're going to bring about 200 blind kids from around the country. And there's information on website at blindscience.org.
And this is held at the National Center in Baltimore, isn't it, Lisa?
Yes, it is. It's held at Baltimore, Maryland, at the Kenneth Jernigan Institute that we have built. And it's held in the latter part of July, first week in August.
Well, excellent. We're glad to have you back on, and we're glad to hear you're up and surfaced again and have moved, huh, to Cincinnati from Texas. That's certainly a site that's well worth looking at, and there also is a good deal of information about that program on the NFB website. There are some closing ceremonies, there are some interviews with kids, and a range of other things. So it certainly is worth taking a look at. Other folks?
Well, while we have a lull here, I want to say that the SciViz program is open to all kids who are grade 4 through 12. There are elementary programs, middle school programs, and secondary programs for kids. And we are very much interested in being challenged as to the kind of kid we get, not saying that we have a kid, we can get any kid through the program, but at the same time, I had a parent call me once who said my child is totally blind, wheelchair, nonverbal, and mentally retarded, and they said, could they come to space camp? And my response to that was, does he enjoy space? And it sort of stopped the mother in her tracks, because she really didn't look at it that way. I said, would you send your daughter to cheerleader camp if she didn't like cheerleading? So we are interested in taking students who are challenged more than just vision. And I take a girl here who's cerebral palsy and nonverbal, and she is a different student at that camp. And she's in a wheelchair 24/7, and she does a wonderful job there, but everybody works to get her through the program.
Paul, I'm wondering if, I think it was Lisa, could give the website again for NFB Science. And also, Dan, can you tell us how to access the Texas School for the Blind website? Thank you. This is Sue.
No problem, Sue. The NFB's the Youth Slam for 2007 is at www.blindscience.org.
That's B-L-I-N-D. SCIENCE.org. Is that correct, Lisa?
That is correct.
And the website for the SciViz is www.tsbvi, which is the initials for Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, tsbvi.edu/SPACE, and you will find it. tsbvi.edu, as in education. It's an educational institute, tsbvi.edu/space.
Other questions?
Brian from Boston here. I'm curious, because almost all of the experiences are team experiences, how does a team work out who has which assignment? those that are going to be in ground control versus those who are going to be in a space station, et cetera, as you divide up the tasks that make up a team?
Good question, Brian. That is one of the things that goes on behind the scenes. Along with the 187 kids or 186 kids I've got coming this year, I've got about 60 teachers coming, and each student fills out a student information form. And on that form, we learn reading level, we learn what kind of person they are, whether they're a go-getter, whether they're a follower, you know, that kind of thing. Whether they're a couch potato, whether they're a marathon runner, that sort of thing. So each one of those, whether they're at mission control, whether in the orbiter, whether they're doing an EVA, an extravehicular activity, a spacewalk, or whether they're in the space station, revolves around their independent skills and what they can do or what we may think they can do that they haven't figured out yet. So the chaperones are very interested in that. They're very integral in that decision. We pay a lot of attention to not giving a student a situation in which they could fail. And by that I mean if we've got a newly blinded student who we just registered one the other day who was 16 years old and has only been blind for 2 years and his braille skills aren't up very good, we're not going to put him in a situation where he has to read 15, 16, 17 pages of braille during his mission at Mission Control. We will put him in a position where his skills that he has, whether his different abilities that he has, can be put to his best use.
And actually, you sort of began to look at something that I was hoping we would actually get to. So let me try to frame what you said a little bit more, and then perhaps any of the three of you who've been there already can make some additional comments. So as I understand, what happens at Space Camp is the group who comes there is divided into various teams, and those teams actually undertake specific missions. That is, they have an opportunity to simulate different components of the space program. If that's accurate, maybe you can expand a little bit on that, and maybe perhaps as well talk about the differences between the basic and the advanced camp.
I'll start and then let Alicia finish from the student standpoint. The advanced program is for students in the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, and that involves a college credit of science at the local university, as well as the SCUBA program. And they get 4 1-hour missions now and 1 6-hour mission. The academy program, in turn, gets 2 2-hour missions. And it's a middle school program based upon the national math and science standards. So it just sort of works out that each of the each of those programs are geared for those students. So we do get a lot of students who are maybe in the 10th and 11th grade who aren't on that level. And one of our adaptations to that program is to let those kids not participate in the advanced program and let them come down to the academy program. But I'll let Alicia finish because she was not one of those students who needed a slower program. She was on task when she got there.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate the compliment. Paul, I think you've got telepathy over there. I've actually been thinking about this for a while since Gary talked about in his first comment that started all this what Space Camp actually does and what happens there. I would say the week is comprised of a mix of simulations, lectures, experiments. In 96, I believe it was, we attended lectures about, and I say lectures, and believe me, we're not talking boring here, we're talking very interesting, about the space program, its history, what it's currently doing, the sequence leading up to a launch, and you need all those, that information for the simulations, and I think, I know for me, the simulations were what really, really stands out. And they do a good job of making sure that you really get some experience in all aspects. I spent some time in mission control. I was, I don't remember what I was for the first year for regular academy. In the second year in mission control, I was the flight director. On the shuttle, I was actually the commander of the orbiter. And I spent some time in the space station. I don't remember my official title there. So they make sure you get a diverse experience in the simulations, and believe me, you take it very seriously. It's a simulation, but the students really treat it like it's real, and it can boost your self-esteem, or if something goes wrong, it can worry you, and I know it can also have its humor. While I was commander of the Orbiter, we, if it had been real, we would have blown up the toilet. And so, anyway, it's a mix of simulations, of lectures, of we built our own rockets. I don't even forget which year that was, too, but we built our own rockets and launched them. We had what they called Space Bowl, which was their Space Camp's version of Quiz Bowl. So it entails a lot of different experiences.
Hi, everybody. It's Lynn from Canada. I just wanted to add a little bit of background, too, that goes in as far as the behind-the-scenes stuff that takes place to get the camp ready for the kids, because Space Camp has really made it a priority to make everything accessible to the students when they're there as possible. And literally, they just open the doors and let the kids come in and access everything that the rest of the kids get to do when they're there throughout the year. And it's totally a can-do environment. Our students, a lot of my students say to me, I can't believe it. Like, they didn't say to me I couldn't do that because I was blind. And they put a lot of time and effort in behind the scenes to make things ready for when those kids do walk through their doors. Myself and some other teachers work with Dan in the summers to prepare the camp, any adaptations that are necessary. They're always changing and upgrading the programs down there, so we get a chance to go down and try the new things and make suggestions for how our kids can totally do this on their own. And I think it's very important for those of you listening to know that there, it's full access for our kids when they're there. It's full Braille, full large print, full low vision aids. Anything that the kids need to access things there to be successful is open to them. So it's a huge job that goes on behind the scenes before we get there.
Other questions for any of our guests about the nature of Space Camp?
Ryan here a second time, if I may. In looking at the website at TSBVI, I noticed there was a rope climbing or rope obstacle course thing that was part of one of the experiences. Is that a confidence builder you're working on?
That's a brand new course that's actually ready to go for September. It's called the Leadership Reaction Course, and it is a very intense, challenging physical course that myself and another teacher, Becky Coakley from West Virginia, experienced with Dan this summer. We did it blindfolded. The first one is a 40-foot telephone pole called the Pamper Pole you climb up and have to stand on top of, and then take the leap of faith into midair, totally fully harnessed, and then you drop down from there. And then the other one is about a 47-foot wall climb that you do as well, harnessed together with two other people, and then a zip line harnessed down to the ground again. So that's brand new. I think Space Camp was totally amazed that we approved it for our kids. They weren't really sure because they only are now letting few students do it as is regularly. So it was very exciting for Dan and Becky and myself to give it a shot, and we're really looking forward to our kids getting a chance to do it in September.
Lynn, I think that's really cool. I'm glad you described that. By the way, this is Alicia here. We didn't have that when I was there as a student. Do we get to do that as adults, by the way, Dan? That'd be cool. Dan, maybe you can refresh my memory. We did a similar type of thing, confidence building activities in Advanced Academy that was known as Area 51, and it was half obstacle course, half exercises that we were given to work in teams on, and that promoted teamwork, trust, etc. So we had something along those lines when I was there. That was Area 51, but not what this sounds like.
Yeah, Alicia, the Area 51 course was a leadership course, but we've come to know the new Area 51 course is Area 51 on steroids, because this is really different. All those other activities that you did back in the late 90s are still there. It's all been moved to a new facility, and these two new programs, the Paper Pole and the Rock Wall, have been added in addition to those other courses. So the kids who don't want to challenge themselves at that level can still do the same activities you did and succeed at those.
So as adults, do we get to do the course, or is that the paper pole and the rock wall, do we get to do that too, or is that only for the kids?
Sorry to break your heart, but no, this is not an adult weekend event. The leadership reaction course is reserved for certain programs, and we are sort of guinea pigs this year because we got permission to do this with our kids and corporate programs, like you were mentioning Rockwell earlier. Any major corporation that wants to come to Space Camp can certainly come and do a corporate program and get involved in that. And then there's also a 13-day program now for kids, not within our SciViz program, but outside of that is available for that program too.
One of the questions that I had, computers are an integral part of the space program. And my question to all of you who are directly involved in Space Camp is, to what degree are computers used as an inherent component of the Space Camp program? And secondly, to what degree do they come pretty close to accessibly simulating what it is that the typical NASA computers will do in a mission kind of environment?
Well, Paul, the computers at Space Camp were upgraded about 4 years ago, right after Space Camp got the American Foundation for the Blind's Accessibility Award. While they were going through that process, I was so concerned that they kept going through the upgrades and there was no speech, there was no large print, there was no screen enlargement, there was nothing. And I kept thinking, are we going to get like wrote out of this completely? And in the end, they developed one of the most unique speech programs and screen enlargement software programs. They didn't go with JAWS and they didn't go with ZoomText. The Binary Star group that wrote the software for Space Camp developed their own. And every kid comes in and gets a 20-key keypad, which allows them to access all the functions on the keyboard. And I was just absolutely amazed at the simplicity of it. Jim Allen from the Texas School for the Blind came in, wrote the training manual, trains all the counselors every year and how to make that work. As far as the authenticity to it, I can tell you that about 3 summers ago when I was working there with teachers, Barbara Morgan, who was Chris McAuliffe's backup for Teacher in Space, who is now a fully trained astronaut graduate mission specialist, was there about 3 summers ago and was sort of like hanging out with the teachers for the day, and they were just totally impressed. And she went in and ran one of the missions for them. And Barbara has been in mission control during actual shuttle missions, and she came out of that mission absolutely amazed at how real it was. And it put a whole new spin on for those teachers, because they were so impressed that an actual astronaut was there with them as a teacher and felt that the simulation was as real as being in a real mission control.
Lisa, do you want to talk a little bit about your computer experience coming from Iowa? Was the computer experience in Huntsville something that kind of woke you up to what computers might be able to do for you, or were you already a computer geek?
I was somewhere in the middle, Paul. I wouldn't say I was a computer geek, but I wasn't totally computer illiterate either. I had a idea what computers could do for me. I hadn't had a ton of experience yet, but I knew the basics. The computer experience down there, I had a Braille display that I was working with. My biggest use of computers happened in mission control, and on the orbiter, I was working with the paneling, the panels that were on the simulator. But when I was flight director in mission control, the second year, I had a Braille display. I had JAWS, I believe, and it seemed to go pretty smoothly. There was a couple technology snafus, but as we discussed earlier tonight, that can tend to happen. But it generally ran pretty smoothly. As far as the authenticity of the missions, I mean, I can't speak from the point of view, obviously, of a teacher of I believe her name was Barbara Morgan, that Dan was just talking about. But it seems pretty authentic because I can still listen to shuttle launches and know what a lot of the terminology means, what a lot of the communication between the shuttle and mission control means, because we talked the talk. I mean, obviously we were reading scripts, but we talked the talk. We went through the missions. You know, the terms were explained to us. And so now I can listen to a real launch and still have a pretty good idea what's going on and what they mean by a lot of their lingo.
We were fortunate in Florida for a long time when I lived up in northern Florida. We had access on our cable system to the NASA radio frequencies, and I guess they're available online. If any of you guys know exactly where, you might mention that. But it was really cool because you could continuously, as long as a mission was up there, listen to the contacts that operated between the spacecraft and mission control. And it was very cool to do.
Paul, this is Terry in Maryland. Particularly for anyone that isn't aware of it, on Comcast, in many areas around the country, there is a NASA TV channel, and you can get most all of it on there as well.
Other questions or comments?
I was wondering if any of the participants this evening maybe had any other ideas or could tell us any more about some of the differences of what will be available and what tends to has historically been available in the adult program at the camp.
The adult camp is a weekend program. It starts on a Friday afternoon and graduation is on Sunday afternoon. And obviously if you're going to a week-long camp like the kids go to, there are many more things within that week-long program that you go to that you get that you don't get in the weekend program. But what you do get is you get one mission, and you get the lectures or the presentations that Alicia was talking about earlier. And there is no scuba diving. There is no leadership reaction course. This is, I call it Space Camp 101. It's a very simple introduction. There is 1 week during the year that there is an Advanced Academy Adult Program. There is a young lady from Goddard Space Flight Center who's coming to the adult weekend camp again, who's blind. And Shika has been to the Advanced Academy Program, which is the full week-long program with the scuba. And she's very much into it. She loves coming to space camp because it's what she does. She works for NASA, and she loves it. So it's like a mini version of the week-long program is probably the best way to put it.
What is the purpose of the scuba diving in the space camp thing? Is it something to do with learning weightlessness, or I'm just wondering? I think.
Yeah, all of the astronauts who actually practice their missions for space actually practice in a huge tank in Houston. 24 feet equals one atmosphere. So when you go down one atmosphere, you are, in fact, weightless. And they've done studies on how long it takes the astronauts to perform certain tasks in a weightless environment on Earth in a 24-foot tank, and how long it takes them to do that same experiment or task in space on a extravehicular activity, EVA, or spacewalk. So it converts almost minute to minute, and we have discovered that through the fact of scuba diving. And the astronauts are put in the same uniform with the same equipment, and they are asked to perform those same tasks. And the kids at space camp are given a similar task. There's a half shuttle bay down at the bottom of the tank, and they have certain tasks they have to do when they get down there.
That was a very, very neat activity that I got to do in 97. And they send you down into the tank with an instructor, a space camp employee, and you communicate via hand signals. And that was a weird experience for me. When I first went under the water in the scuba gear with regulator in my mouth, it was a little odd because all of a sudden there was nothing to hear. but the bubbles, obviously, and the water moving around me, and I couldn't use my voice because I had a regulator in my mouth, and I obviously couldn't see. So they communicate, they teach you with all the hand signals before you go down, what means I'm okay, what means I'm not okay, etc., and you never lose physical contact with your instructor once you're under the water. I remember doing the simulation underwater, and it's a little difficult to learn to maneuver and maneuver objects in that environment, but it really gave me a new perspective on what those astronauts are probably dealing with, as well as tested me personally in trusting another person and in how to handle it when hearing and voice, which are the two senses that I think we as blind people would, well, aside from touch, use most when I didn't have those. So it was an unusual but very awesome experience.
Any of our guests have any final comments that they'd like to make before we wrap things up tonight?
Yeah, Paul, I would just like to say this is my first time in any of this type of format, and you'll probably find me lurking around your program in the future. This is absolutely fascinating. This one of my favorite words. This is a plethora of people, and they have such interesting comments. And I would also like to know if after our program is over, SciViz, that we could get a number of students on here one night and do this again, and I can take more of a back seat and let the students be more of the front for this, and let them relate their experiences to you, and I'll be more than happy to organize that for you.
We would love to do that. I think now that folks have some background on the Space Camp program, we would really love to hear from kids themselves. And also from adults. So we need Jim Denham and Alicia to promise to come back and talk to us about the weekend program. I would love to do that. Now, Dan, you actually put a glossary URL up there in the text message area. Could you, whoever put it up there, go through that and just repeat it for our listeners so they have it?
And I'm not so sure it's worthy of going through, but if you go to Google, I just Googled space term glossary, and I got a site at JPL, which is in California, and that was the first one. That was the first hit. So if that is okay for everyone, we'll just Google space term glossary and leave it at that. If anyone wants that read out to them, I'll be glad to.
All four of you who have agreed to come and tell us something about your experiences and your involvement with Space Camp, we truly appreciate the opportunity of hearing about your experiences. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in to Tuesday Topics tonight. I think there are probably a number of people who, like me, are salivating and who are truly envious of the time that Jim and Alicia are going to have in the adult camp and the time that a lot of the kids are going to have in the kids' camp later this month. On behalf of Tuesday Topics, this is Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida, thanking everyone for participating and for listening to Tuesday Topics. Next week on Tuesday Topics, we're going to explore competitive sailing in blind people. Throughout the world, there are now organizations which help people who are blind become primary components of sailing crews that race competitively in blind championships throughout the world. We'll find out a little bit more about how that's done, about who's involved, about what the advantages and disadvantages of such a program are, and about how other people with disabilities get involved as well. We look forward to your listening to us on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community, on next week's Tuesday Topics.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. The first time you enter the chat room, the software will automatically download and install on your computer. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends list early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.